Crew Veteran Radio for the week of February 27th. In this episode, Microsoft, Apple, and Google sign a mobile privacy pact. Windows 7 and Vista support. Those policies remain unchanged, according to Microsoft. And Microsoft claims Google is bypassing IE privacy settings. All that news in a second right here on Redmond Radio. Welcome to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast of news and information for the Microsoft and IT professional. As usual, before we get started, here are the many ways to contact me. Email me at mdomingo@1105media.com. That's M-D-O-M-I-N-G-O at 1105media.com. You can also call my voice number by Google Voice at 760-536-8859. Or you can call me, you can't call me there, but you can use my Twitter accounts or my Facebook accounts and post messages there. Both of those are D-O-M-I-N-G-O-P-H-O-T-O or Domingo Photo. All right, so the answer to last week's IT trivia question. Which computer giant was born last week in 1860, who is credited with inventing the punch card? It's none other than Herman Hollerith. Hollerith headed the Computing Tabulating Recording Corporation, which was renamed under Thomas Watson Steerage years later. Noteworthy from last week is that it would have been Steve Jobs' 57th birthday on Friday. May he rest in peace, as it were. All right, up for an easy one this week? Here goes. Tim Berners-Lee is credited with inventing the browser this week in 1990. It was originally called World Wide Web, without spaces between the words, but also went by another name. What name is that? Tweet your answer with the Redmond Radio hashtag, and you might win a free Redmond t-shirt. You got to tweet your answer before the next show, though, so good luck with that, all right? All right, and with that, we head on to the news. Microsoft announced that it's timing its Windows 8 consumer preview release with the availability of beta versions of Visual Studio 11 and .NET Framework 4.5. All are now set to be released this week on February 29th. Microsoft made the announcement during a sneak preview of the Visual Studio and .NET Framework betas. The release has coincided with the launch of the Windows Store for Metro-style applications. The Visual Studio 11 beta supports integration into the Windows Store. Both Visual Studio and .NET Framework have been updated since the previews were released last September at the Microsoft Build Conference, and they will include a free Team Foundation Server Express beta. TFS Express is a subset of Team Foundation Server 11 that provides source code control, work item tracking, build automation, and an agile task board, among other features. Those can be used for up to 5 developers. In other Windows news, Microsoft will be providing users with more options for preferred languages in Windows 8. The news, which came in a Building Windows 8 blog post, discussed that the new version of the OS will allow for custom languages to be downloaded from one source, no matter what region you buy the software on the Windows machine. In the past, custom language downloads were divided between Microsoft's Windows Update and Microsoft Download Center. If you couldn't find the desired language in one location, you would have to search the second location. With Windows 8, language options will be located in the control panel. A user will only need to click on the Add a Language tab, scroll to the desired choice, and select it in the custom language list. The control panel will then alert users if the language is available to download. Along with simplifying the process of adding desired languages, Microsoft will add an additional 14 languages for a total of 109 available language choices. Included are Valencian, Punjabi, Sindhi, Kishe and Wolof, which is a Senegal language. Even as Windows 8 is set to be released, Microsoft this month clarified its lifecycle support for Windows Vista and Windows 7 consumer products, indicating 5-year extended support dates. The date clarifications were first cited by Ed Bott in a blog post. Bott offered a machine-translated Japanese blog as his source of information. However, not much really has changed in terms of policy, except possibly for Microsoft filling in some dates. Here are the dates to keep in mind for Microsoft's lifecycle fact sheet page. For Windows XP, Service Pack 3, end of mainstream support is April 14, 2009, and end of extended support is April 8, 2014. For Windows Vista, Service Pack 2, end of mainstream support is April 10, 2012, and end of extended support is April 11, 2017. As for Windows 7, Service Pack 1, end of mainstream support is January 12, 2015, with extended support ending January 14, 2020. Microsoft's lifecycle support policy provides for 5 years of mainstream support for consumer products, but business products get another 5 years of extended support beyond that time, according to Microsoft's lifecycle policy FAQ. The definition for consumer and business products makes the policy a bit confusing. Windows can be considered both a consumer and a business product, so it likely comes with a total of 10 years of lifecycle support from the very start for purchasers of both the consumer and business Windows editions. A Microsoft spokesperson confirmed by email that there wasn't any change in policy. Let's switch gears a bit. Here's a story about Microsoft, who's claiming that Google is bypassing Internet Explorer's P3P privacy protection to track users' cookies. Dean Hashimatovich, corporate vice president of Internet Explorer, wrote in a blog post that Microsoft started looking into the issue after an article in the Wall Street Journal discussed how Google got around tracking blockers in Apple's Safari browser to keep tabs on web users. Hashimatovich wrote, "When the IE team heard that Google had bypassed user privacy settings on Safari, we asked ourselves a simple question. Is Google circumventing the privacy preferences of Internet Explorer users too? We discovered the answer is yes. Google is employing similar methods to get around the default privacy protection in IE and track IE users with cookies. Internet Explorer automatically blocks third-party cookies from sites that haven't presented a P3P compact policy statement to the W3C web standards body. This statement publicly discloses how and when a site will document data in the form of cookies. In Google's case, it has been bypassing the P3P requirements for Internet Explorer to track cookies without presenting a clear intent on how it would use the information." Hashimatovich said, "Technically, Google utilizes a nuance in the P3P specification that has the effect of bypassing user preferences about cookies. The P3P specification, in an attempt to leave room for future advances in privacy policies, states that browsers should ignore any undefined policies they encounter." When the news hit a few weeks ago concerning Google avoiding Safari's privacy protocol, Google responded by saying it was accidental and that the unintentional bypass was part of some bad code connected with its plus one button that is integrated into many websites. Google said in response to the IE blog post that Microsoft purposely omitted information in its blog, including its opinion that using P3P specifications was outdated. Google in a statement said, quote, "It is well known, including by Microsoft, that it is impractical to comply with Microsoft's requests while providing modern web functionality. We have been open about our approach, as have many other websites." According to Microsoft insider Mary Jo Foley, this workaround of Internet Explorer's privacy policy has been known for some time. In a blog post discussing the matter, Foley said she received an email from Lori Faith Craner, director of SciLab Usable Privacy and Security Laboratory, saying that a research team at Carnegie Mellon University had disclosed the practice used by Google and Facebook back in 2010. Microsoft made no mention whether it previously had knowledge or investigated this issue in a blog posting. Apple and Microsoft aren't the only ones raising concern over Google's privacy circumnavigation. A class action lawsuit has been filed with the U.S. District Court of Delaware, alleging that Google violated the Stored Electronic Communication Act, the Federal Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, and the Federal Wiretap Act. And in an odd twist with Microsoft and Google, here's some interesting news. Drafted by California's Attorney General and signed by six tech companies, a new agreement will call for app developers to provide clear information on their individual privacy policies before their products are downloaded. The accord, signed by Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, and Google, as well as Research in Motion and Hewlett-Packard, will mandate that mobile apps downloaded must provide detailed information on what personal data will be collected and how it will be used. It also will create an option for consumers to report applications found in online app markets that aren't complying with the privacy disclosure. According to California's Attorney General, Kamala D. Harris, who drafted the agreement, developers who have been found to violate this could be prosecuted under California's false advertising law and unfair competition law. Said Harris in a press release, "This agreement strengthens the privacy protections of California consumers and of millions of people around the globe who use mobile apps. By ensuring that mobile apps have privacy policies, we create more transparency and give mobile users more informed control over who accesses their personal information and how it's used." While Apple and Microsoft have similar privacy policies in place, according to the press release by the California Attorney General, only 5% of mobile applications available have a policy in place that discloses the information being gathered. In a statement discussing the six-company agreement, Google said it was proud to join the initiative. Quote, from the beginning, Android has had an industry-leading permission system which informs consumers what data an app can access and requires user approval before installation. Coupled with the principles announced by the Attorney General, which we expect to complete in the coming weeks, consumers will have even more ways to make informed decisions when it comes to their privacy, end quote. The agreement is also receiving some criticism. Jeffrey Chester, executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy, said he believes the pact doesn't go far enough to protect the privacy rights of mobile app users. According to a Los Angeles Times article, he's quoted as saying, the AG has let consumers down by not negotiating a bill of rights for consumers using mobile devices. Consumers need new safeguards to ensure that their mobile data can't be used without their express consent. Today, consumers are being stealthily eavesdropped when they use their mobile phones with no limits on how the information can be collected or used. Mobile phones are sending marketers information on our real-time location and mobile web use. Privacy policies are purposely written to permit unfair data collection practices. All this bill does, said Chester, is to revise privacy policies that many fail to read in the first place. The agreement calls for the six companies to meet with the Attorney General in 6 months to report on the implementation status. However, there is no clear timeline when total compliance must be achieved. All right, now last bit of news. A complaint by Microsoft was filed with the European Commission on Wednesday last week about standard essential patent licensing terms set by Motorola Mobility. This comes on the heels of Google's plans of buying the company. Standard essential patents are intellectual properties that are deemed necessary for companies to use when deploying standards-based technologies in their products. The technologies are expected to be licensed on fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory terms in Europe or reasonable and non-discriminatory terms in the U.S. In its complaint before the European Union's Competition Regulatory Authority, Microsoft is basically saying that Motorola Mobility is price gouging on licensing these standard essential patent technologies, and that Google will continue that policy once it acquires Motorola Mobility and its patent portfolio. This latest salvo arises from a particular context, namely an ongoing patent feud between the two companies that heated up about 2 years ago. In October 2010, Microsoft filed suit against Motorola, alleging that Motorola's use of the open-source Google-backed Android OS in some of its devices violates Microsoft's patents. That case was not about FRAND or RAND patents, but concerned user interface software patents. A month later, Microsoft filed another suit against Motorola, this time accusing it of charging excessive royalties for the use of wireless LAN and H.264 video codec technologies that Microsoft uses in its Xbox gaming console. This latter lawsuit was all about FRAND licensing. In response to Microsoft's second lawsuit, Motorola accused Microsoft of infringing 16 of Motorola's patents in multiple products. Now Microsoft has escalated its complaints on FRAND licensing to the European Commission. In particular, Microsoft is accusing Motorola Mobility, man, I'm having a hard time with those two words, right, of charging exorbitant fees for online video patents used in several Microsoft products. Wrote David Heiner, Microsoft's deputy general counsel, in a blog post last week. We have taken this step because Motorola is attempting to block sales of Windows PCs, our Xbox game console, and other products. Their offense? These products enable people to view videos on the web and to connect wirelessly to the internet using industry standards. Heiner noted that Apple has taken action separately on the FRAND licensing issue, but he claims that the issue is much broader, affecting the industry using video technologies. Google will continue the same Motorola Mobility policy once the acquisition is completed, Microsoft contends. Google has affirmed that position and indicated it would offer FRAND licensing amounting to 2.25% on each unit sold that uses its standard essential patents. That royalty charge amounts to death for the industry, according to Heiner. Heiner wrote, Motorola is on a path to use standard essential patents to kill video on the web, and Google, as its new owner, doesn't seem to be willing to change course. Microsoft is no stranger to patent disputes outside the FRAND, RAND world. Besides its Android patent suit against Motorola from 2010, it's also currently locked in a legal battle with bookseller Barnes & Noble over the use of Android in Nook e-readers. Microsoft has signed intellectual property deals with 70% of Android hardware makers, which allows Microsoft to profit from Android use. Some calculate that Microsoft makes more from intellectual property licensing associated with Android than it does from licensing its own Windows Phone OS. And with that bit of news, it indeed is the end of this week's Redmond Radio. Do let me know what you think of this show, and if you have any suggestions for content, write to me at mdomingo@1105media.com. And also, if you have a Twitter account, do send me a tweet or tweet the Redmond Radio hashtag. Or, hey, go visit the Redmond Magazine website or Facebook page and post a note there, all right? I'm Michael D'Amico. See you here next week right here on Redmond Radio.